Put up your sermon notes if you have them. So, we're continuing on the theme of I love Sundays. Of course I love Sundays. I am the pastor. I'm supposed to love Sundays, but I hope that you will learn to love them too. Last week we talked about good Sundays make better Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and the rest of the week. We need that balance in life. A day to rest, to refuel, to refocus, to be re-energized by the Word of God. But we also need good Sundays so that we can have better families. Here's a scenario for lots of families, including mine from time to time. You have a couple of kids, and you're usually ferrying them around in your minivan to the next practice. They are usually a little stressed, maybe even fighting. You're tired. You probably forgot some of the soccer equipment or the baseball equipment. Sometimes you might even forget a kid and you got to go back and get them. I hate when that happens. And then instead of having a nice family conversation, instead of enjoying those children, you usually are reprimanding them, you know, telling them not to do this or that. Or they don't pay any attention to you at all because they're on their device, whatever that is, their phone or their pad or whatever it is. Or they have these earbuds in their ears and they can't hear anything that you're saying because they're listening to something else. Sound familiar? Well, we're here today because there is a better way. And it all begins with a better Sunday. As you take a look at your notes, there's a memory verse there on the bottom. This was written by the wisest man who ever lived, which was Solomon, son of King David. But he was so wise because he listened to God. And this is what he said. Start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The top of your notes, this is the big idea for this morning. The direction you start your children determines the destination where they are likely to arrive. Sir Isaac Newton once said that an object that is motion tends to remain in motion at the same speed and direction. So let's say, for example, that I wanted to head due north. Somebody point me in the right direction. This way. So this is due north. If I head in this direction, if I start in this direction, I am much more likely to end up at the North Pole than the South. And so it is with our children. If we give them this gentle push early in life, they are much more likely to arrive safely at the destination of heaven. Let me give you a couple examples of how this works. Some of you will be watching football this afternoon. Some of you have been watching football this weekend. And there is a name probably you have heard before if you ever watch football. Anybody hear the name Manning? Anybody? How about Peyton? What does he do? Quarterback. How about Eli, his brother? What does he do? Quarterback. All right. What was his father? Archie. Quarterback. Now, if you read any biographies on the Mannings, you know that Archie did not shove his children in the same direction. But he gave them a gentle nudge. And they learned to love football just like he loved football. All right, another example. How about George Clooney? What does he do? Anybody? George Clooney, actor. His aunt, Rosemary. She was singer and an actress as well. A little gentle push in that direction. And so that's what we're going to take a look at. How do we give our children this start? Let's push them in the right direction. Well, I'm going to give you seven principles or practices of successful families this morning. They are here in your notes. The first one is the most important. All the rest flow out of this. And so it begins, put God first. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And all these things all these things, all these earthly things, they will follow. Because God knows the very most important thing is our relationship with Him. Our eternity hinges on our relationship with God. He's already taken care of that by sending His Son to die on the cross. He rose from the grave so that you and I could come to His house, receive His forgiveness, receive His supper, be encouraged as His children, and spend eternity in bliss with Him. It's a pretty good deal. And He said, because that's so important, because I love you so much, I'll take care of everything else too. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these other things. They will be given to you as well. So it begins there. Put God first. Now, what does that look like? Well, let's use earthly relationships as an example. Guys are going to pick on you because you're always the easiest. So guys, raise your hand. Come on, guys, raise them up. All right. Let's say that you are married, okay? Let's say you are married. Let's say that you love your wife, all right? So, just like I love Sundays, let's shout it out, guys. I love my wife on three. One, two, three. I love my wife. Very good. How does she know? How does your wife know you love her? You probably tell her every now and then, good thing. You probably give her gifts every now and then, good thing. But you need to spend some time with her. Otherwise, it's just empty words, empty gifts. Spend some time with her. And so it is with God. How do we show our God that we love Him? We use our words. We honor Him with our lips. We praise Him in worship. We give Him our gifts. We spend time with Him. We honor His day by being in His house. We put God first when we care about the things that God cares about, like Sundays, or by following His commands, or when we use His gifts to us in the same way that He would use them. Put God first. All right, another question. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you ever actually listened to what the flight attendant says? Raise your hand. Very good. If you actually listen, then you know the spiel. I've tuned her out. But they always tell you about what to do when the cabin pressure changes, right? This little bag's going to fall down from the ceiling. And because you love your precious little children, what are you going to do when that thing comes down? You're going to put it on their face first, right? No, you've been listening. Good. You put it on your face first, because if you aren't breathing oxygen, you're not going to be able to help them put their mask on as well. It all begins with putting God first. If you truly love your kids, if you want better families, it all begins with putting God first. Number two, then let your kids see your relationship with God. Moses told the people of Israel this. These commandments, the Ten Commandments, that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols, he says, on your foreheads and on your hands. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And the Jews literally have done this. If you go to Israel today, there will literally be boxes on the door frames of the houses with these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, as well as the Ten Commandments. And if you see Orthodox Jews, they also have them literally tied to their foreheads and to their hands. Now, you don't have to go to that extreme, but impress them on your heart. talk to them with your children. Let your kids see your relationship with God. Another question. How many of you know that my birthday was Friday? Anybody? Very good. And I know that you know. Happy birthday. Thank you. And I don't go on Facebook all that much, but I always know that my birthday is coming around because my little cell phone is buzzing and pinging all day long, and I love that. I truly do. I don't even have to look at it because I know it's another birthday wish or birthday prayer. And I will respond and say thank you to all 352 of you or whatever it was. Thank you so much for all of those well wishes. A lot of you asked, so what was your favorite gift this year? And I have to tell you, I got some wonderful gifts. My wife, I love my wife. She gave me a wonderful gift this year. Friday, you may know, was not only my birthday, but it was also the BMW Championship. Anybody know what the BMW Championship is? Raise your hand. Golf. I've never been, never got to go. It's not far from here. Lake Forest, Conway Farms. So she bought me a ticket. Wonderful gift. Got to spend the whole day there on Friday, seeing these guys, you know, do these amazing things, hitting the ball around the golf course. I never knew that it's supposed to stay on the green part, but something new I learned. But not only did she buy me a ticket, but she also bought my twin brother a ticket. You see, it's his birthday too. Right. And so we got to spend the day together. It was a wonderful gift. But it got even better because that night, after I dropped my brother off at the airport so we could go back to Memphis, that night I got to watch my son play football. And after about an hour lightning delay, Prairie Ridge won their game. Woo-woo, shattered out. Wolves, go Wolves. All right? So my birthday got even better. And yet those were not the best gifts. My best gift was given to me about 57 years ago by my parents. It's a gift that I get to celebrate not only on my birthday, but every Sunday and every day of the week. You see, they shared their relationship with God with all of their children. So often we have this fear that when we grow up, we're going to be too much like our parents. Sometimes we think, oh my God, I'm going to turn out to be just like my dad. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. It seemed like a pretty good thing 2 weeks ago when I went to his funeral. And there was a whole room filled with people. And they would parade one by one past his casket. And I was standing there along with my brothers and my mother and all of my brothers' wives. And we got to hear the wonderful things that people would say to us. And then my oldest brother got up and he did a eulogy that shined the light on my father's life and all the wonderful things that he had done. But the greatest accomplishment, and my brother shared this with everyone, was that he shared his faith with his children. Because that's the thing that lasts. Our legacies are built through our children. Wouldn't it be great if that legacy lasted for eternity in heaven? Number two, let your kids see your relationship with God. All the rest flow right out of these first two. So we'll go through those pretty quickly. Number three, let your kids see your spending. It's one of the greatest secrets in America. We don't want anybody to know what kind of money we have. But share the secret with your kids. Let them Let them see what you spend your money on. Let them know where your treasures are. Jesus said, everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Turn it over, number four, along with that, let your children tithe. Practice the 10-10-80 plan. You know, as wonderful as my father was, he didn't teach me how to tithe. When I was a kid, we got a nickel and we put that in the offering plate. And that's fine for a 5-year-old back in 1965. It's not so good for a 25-year-old in 1985. My wife taught me how to tithe. And it's a whole lot easier if you learn when you're a kid than when you're an adult. So this is what we did. We took the 10-10-80 plan. It's very simple. We got one of those pigs from Thrivent, the plastic pig, not the real one. Plastic pig, 3 slots in it. Gave them a dollar. That was their allowance from little on. In dimes. So the first dime goes in the tithe slot. Second dime goes in the save slot. The other 8 can go in the spending slot. Now, when you're young and your parents give you an allowance, you don't mind putting the 1 dime in the tithe and the 1 dime in the save because it wasn't your money anyway. But you see, as you learn later on, it remains easier when you're earning the money because you have learned the habit. Let your children tithe. Number 5 and 6, I want you to circle these. Number 5 is serve at church together. Number 6, send or take them on a mission trip. Why circle those? Because they are the best indicators of the love that your children will have for God as an adult. More than anything else, those kids who served in the church will turn out to be adults who not only serve in the church, but who love God. And you can do that here at Emmanuel. You can greet together as a family. You can ush together as a family. You can work in the nursery together as a family. On October the 19th, you can work at the clinic together as a family. Serve at church together. And send or take them on a mission trip. Raise your hand if you've ever been on a mission trip. Let me ask you. Were you different when you came back? Probably. Were you changed when you came back? Probably. Because you were serving a group of people who had less than what you have. Now, if you were changed when you went, do you think your children would be changed when they go? Absolutely, without fail. They will appreciate so much more, and they'll appreciate you as a parent so much more. And they'll be connected to God so much more. So, 7 things, 7 practices, 7 principles that help make better Sundays and better families. We've got some kids here. How old are you? Nora, how old are you? You are 6. How old are you? You are 8. How old are you? 10. Perfect. 6, 8, and 10. Nora, do you love your parents? Yes. They're pretty cool people, aren't they? Yeah. Right. Really cool mom. Yeah. Over there. There she is. Yep. Dad's not here. Dad's pretty cool, pretty smart, right? Yep. Yeah. Kids love their parents when they're young. They think the world of us, and then something happens. They get older. Somewhere around 11, 12, 13, things begin to change. Mom isn't so cool anymore. Dad's not so smart anymore. they get to high school and they don't tell their friends who you are. They don't want to be seen with you anymore. You know, Mark Twain said that when they're 13 years old, we should take our children and put them in a barrel and feed them through a knot hole. And then when they get to be 16, close the knot hole. Well, we may have felt like that, but that's pretty bad parenting advice, wouldn't you say? But here's the deal. Kids change. We're not always perfect parents. And that's why number 7 is so important. For our children to have godly mentors. Any of you in here ever taught Sunday school? Raise your hand. You are a blessing to God's church. Anybody ever work with youth? Raise your hand. You are a blessing to God's church. Because mom and dad, when your kids no longer listen to you, and there will be a time, no matter how good of a parent you have been, you have all these other people who are teaching your children the same thing. And when they won't come to you, and there will be that time, they will go to all of these other people who have had an influence in their life. So help them find godly mentors. And then when they get to be about 25 or so, they'll think you're the smartest person in the world again, Dad. And the coolest person in the world, Mom. And in between, as a part of God's family, we can make our own families better. To wrap it all up then, we need to apply what we have learned. Make Sunday a family day. Truly, I love Sundays. I love coming to worship. I love singing the praise songs. I love going to the Lord's Supper. I love seeing all of you. But this is just the beginning. Sunday's not done yet. I get to go home most Sundays and have a fabulous meal. I get to have breakfast. Because I don't get breakfast any other day of the week. But my wife will make scrambled eggs, pancakes with all kinds of syrup just flowing off the plate, and sausage. And then after that, I get to watch the NFL and take a nap and spend time with my family. Whatever your family likes to do. Going to the park, watching the football game, going to a museum, reading, playing games, whatever. Do it on Sundays after church together. And talk. Talk about what you learned. Talk about what inspired you. Make great traditions. And if you haven't been doing that, start today. Start today. Because God's mercies are new every morning. And no matter what we have done in the past, this is a new day. So start today. And for those of you whose children are grown and out of the house, or maybe you don't have children at all, then find somebody that you love and call them today. Pick up your phone and give them a call. Call your son or daughter at college. Call your elderly parent. Call your adult brother or sister. And just tell them that you love them. And make that a part of your Sunday. God loves Sundays. And He loves each one of you. And He wants your Sunday to be the very best day of the week so that you too can have a better family. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.